Hey, okay if I play? There is no response, just puzzled silly looks swapped. Rabbit takes off his coat, folds it nicely, and rests it on a clean ashcan lid. Behind him, the dungarees begin to scuffle again. He goes into the scrimmaging thick of them for the ball, flips it from two weak white hands, has it in his own. That old stretched leather feeling makes his whole body go taut, gives his arms wings. It feels like he's reaching down through years to touch this tautness. His arms lift of their own, and the rubber ball floats towards the basket from the top of his head. It feels so right he blinks when the ball drops short, and for a second wonders if it went through the hoop without riffling the net. He asks, "Hey, whose side am I on?" This incident takes place within the first couple of pages of John Updike's 1961 novel Rabbit Run. It's a description of a process, shooting a hoop, but also introduces and establishes the principal character who will inhabit a series of books published over the next 40 years. Harry Angstrom, nicknamed Rabbit, is a 26-year-old former high school basketball player who has now been reduced to selling a kitchen gadget, the Magic Peeler. What you've just heard emphasises his physicality. That old stretched leather feeling makes his whole body go taut, gives his arms wings. The fact that it feels like he's reaching down through years to touch this tautness also draws tacit attention to his status as a former athlete. In the description of the game that follows, the author uses sentence length and punctuation to mirror the activity and to reinforce a sense of diminishing powers. To show you what I mean, here's the passage read without pause. In a wordless shuffle, two boys are delegated to be his. They stand the other four. Though from the start Rabbit handicaps himself by staying 10 feet out from the basket, it is still unfair. No one bothers to keep score. The surly silence bothers him. The kids call monosyllables to each other, but to him they don't dare a word. As the game goes, he can feel them at his legs getting hot and mad, trying to trip him, but their tongues are still held. He doesn't want this respect. He wants to tell them there's nothing to getting old. It takes nothing. In 10 minutes, another boy goes to the other side, so it's just Rabbit Angstrom and one kid standing five. This boy's still midget, but already diffident with a kind of range ease, is the best of the six, and he wears a knitted cap with a green pom-pom well down over his ear and level with his eyebrows, giving his head a cretinous look. He's a natural. The way he moves sideways without taking any steps, gliding on a blessing, you can tell. The way he waits before he moves. With luck, he'll become in time a crack athlete in the high school. Rabbit knows the way. You climb up through the little grades and then get to the top, and everybody cheers with the sweat in your eyebrows. You can't see very well, and the noise swirls around you and lifts you up, and then you're out, not forgotten at first, just out, and it feels good and cool and free. You're out and sort of melt and keep lifting, till you become like to these kids just one more piece of the sky of adults that hangs over them in the town, a piece that for some queer reason has clouded and visited them. They've not forgotten him. Worse, they've never heard of him. Yet in his time, Rabbit was famous through the county. In basketball in his junior year, he set a B-League record. Then in his senior year, he broke with a record that was not broken until 4 years later. That is, 4 years ago. Here it is with the punctuation restored. In a wordless shuffle, two boys are delegated to be his. They stand the other four. Though from the start, Rabbit handicaps himself by staying 10 feet out from the basket, it is still unfair. Nobody bothers to keep score. The surly silence bothers him. The kids call monosyllables to each other, but to him they don't dare a word. As the game goes on, he can feel them in his legs, getting hot and mad, trying to trip him, but their tongues are still held. He doesn't want this respect. He wants to tell them there's nothing to getting old. It takes nothing. In 10 minutes, another boy goes to the other side, so it's just Rabbit Angstrom and one kid standing five. This boy, still midget but already diffident with a kind of rangy ease, is the best of the six. He wears a knitted cap with a green pom-pom well down over his ears and level with his eyebrows, giving his head a cretinous look. He's a natural. The way he moves sideways without taking any steps, gliding on a blessing, you can tell. The way he waits before he moves. With luck, he'll become in time a crack athlete in high school. Rabbit knows the way. You climb up through the little grades and then get to the top, and everybody cheers. With the sweat in your eyebrows, you can't see very well, and the noise swirls around you and lifts you up, and then you're out. Not forgotten at first, just out. And it feels good and cool and free. You're out, and sort of melt, and keep lifting, until you become like to these kids just one more piece of the sky of adults that hangs over them in the town. A piece that for some queer reason has clouded and visited them. They've not forgotten him. Worse, they've never heard of him. Yet in his time, Rabbit was famous through the county. In basketball in his junior year, he set a B-League scoring record that in his senior year he broke with a record that was not broken until 4 years later. That is, 4 years ago. this is what punctuation can do. It allows the prose and you to breathe.